World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I feel like I'm chasing my tail already this morning. You guys ever get the smoke detector goes off in your house? I think it probably needs a battery, is my guess. But I can't find it. I can't find where the smoke detector is. Although I think maybe Michelle and I just kind of located it here in the last 30 seconds before we went on the air, and it's beeping. We pulled something out of the wall. I don't think it was a smoke detector. I think it was a CO2. Anyway, a little bit distracted today. Going to try to get my feet under me, get rolling here. We had yesterday, something's going on with the weather. So I'm telling you, we had yesterday here where I live in, what would you call, East Central Ohio. We had the most unbelievable downpour yesterday. And I saw this morning, they said it was 1.5 inches in 15 minutes. Now, I want you to think about that, man. 1.5 inches in 15 minutes. It's crazy. It's crazy. Then we had to go to Columbus, which is 26 miles from there. And so we drove 5 miles down the road, and the roads were totally and completely dry. Something crazy going on, man. I don't know what it is. And I could pull up all the flooding and, you know, whether they're natural disasters, whether it's the warning from God, whether it's judgment, I don't know. But something's happening here, folks. What it is ain't exactly clear. Got the yard all mowed yesterday. Praise the Lord. Got that done before the rain hit. And, pole shift. Could be a lot of stuff, man. I heard an interview yesterday of some guy who they are seed planters, cloud planters. And he went on to explain the whole thing, that they don't create rain. Cloud seeding doesn't create rain. It was on Glenn Beck, actually. It was really good. But something's crazy is going on, and I don't want to get bogged down on that. Hey, pray for Bob Roof, Dr. Bob Roof. I heard from his, he was in surgery like 8 hours yesterday. I haven't spoken to him. He's been really, really in a lot of pain. Some of you maybe don't even know Dr. Bob. That's okay. But he's a great guy, and he's an emergency room doctor that to the very end would not bite on the COVID thing, wouldn't bite on it, fought a lot of fights, and he'd been really, really under the weather. So he had a long surgery yesterday. I call it electrical problems, nerve problems, whatever, just in a lot of pain. And it's an hour and a half, like I said, eight and a half hours, I think, he was in yesterday. So. Hey, look, a lot of you out there need prayer, man. A lot of you. A lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of crazy stuff going on. So, I could start. Maybe we ought to do it. Maybe we ought to do a show where we just pray. Pray for one another. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to jump in real quickly here, okay? I wrote a commentary at News with Fuse yesterday. And I want to read this, and then we can go ahead and we'll move on. I'm talking about me now, okay? I'm showing Coach Dave live, so it's about me. I guess I'm allowed to say this. I wrote yesterday on called Secular Christianity. Secular. I'm going to stay with me. Stay with me. How many churches do you know? Again, I hate to always be banging the churches, but folks, we're the answer. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. They're waiting on us. They're waiting on us. Manifestations of the Son of God. We can elect whoever we want to or not elect whoever we want to or whatever. We see what's going on in the government. There clearly is no justice in America. No justice. No justice. Get away with whatever you want to get away from. The weak, the powerful, people in positions of authority. We see what's going on, right? They lock up J6ers. They lock up, without a trial, godly men and women who show up in Washington, D.C., and don't do anything more than petition the government for redress of their grievances, and they throw them in jail without a trial for months, years, right? You get the Epstein list, we get all the, and John Brockhoff, I don't know if you're listening out there, John Brockhoff told me one time, I said, the church's biggest mistake is we've taught the world not to fear us, not to be afraid of the church. Don't be afraid of us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I don't know about you. See, something happened to me on, I got it written right here in my Bible. Would you bear with me a second? I have my old family Bible here. The day I received salvation in Jesus. By the way, here it is. 1/28, that's my wife's birthday, 87. January 28th, 1987, I received Christ. I'm going to ask you something, those of you looking at me right now. Do you know when you received Christ? Do you know when your birthday is? November 26, 1952. Do you know when your rebirth was? Or as I heard one of the guys who persecuted me when I was coaching football at London High School, the guy leading the charge, I won't say his name, doesn't matter. I asked him if he's a Christian, and he told me, I was born a Methodist. I said, there you go. You're born a Methodist, huh? Well, you need born again, dude. You need born again. And I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit today. I wonder how many of out there watching right now today at this show at this point have never been born again. Never been born again. See, Coach, I don't even know what you're talking about being born again. I was raised in church. I was raised a good Catholic boy, good Catholic girl. I was a Methodist. I was a Lutheran. Can you point, if you know when you were born the first time, can you point to that time when you were born the second time? Now, hang on. I would not have remembered that but I wrote it down in my Bible. But I remember the moment. I remember. Also, can I tell you this? I remember 1961, the moment I met Mickey Mantle. I remember it vividly. Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, they were both going through, tried to be the first one to beat Babe Ruth's record. We met Mickey Mantle in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Yankees dugout in Cleveland, Ohio. I remember it vividly. Now, I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't tell you the date, but I remember it. I remember it. I remember hitting a home run to win the game of the Licking County Shrine Tournament. I don't remember the date, but I remember when it happened. I remember it. Yeah. I remember when we upset Dublin, Brett. I remember when we upset them and we won the Central Buckeye League conference football game. And I don't know the date. I don't know the date, but I know that. I remember that day. Folks, were you born again? Were you ever born again? And I think we'd be shocked to find out how many people haven't been born again. Haven't been. Raised in church. Did all the church rigmarole. Took the confirmation, the first communion. Did all that stuff. You never received Christ. So I wrote this today, and this is for many of you out there. And I'm going to say that this, I believe. Can I tell you something? Dale Socia is born again of the Spirit of God. How do I know? I see the fruit of it in his life. I see it. Randy is born again of the Spirit of God. I see the fruit of it. I can go on. I can go on. I got to tell you something. I've run across some people. I don't know if they're born again. I don't really know. And one of the things that we've screwed up, as far as I'm concerned, is it's in the article. I'm going to get to it. I had people say, oh, we go to a wonderful Spirit-filled church. And then I stop and ask this question. Is there any other kind? What do you mean Spirit-filled church? What does that even mean? See, this is the lingo that we throw around, I think, because of cable TV and Oral Roberts and Jimmy, the late Jimmy Swaggart. And all. We just throw this lingo around, spirit-filled. So, in other words, the Holy Spirit, can the Holy Spirit just put a little bit in you? Just a little dab will do you? So I got just a little bit. Not me. I'm spirit-filled. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? Because you speak in tongues? You speak in tongues, now you're spirit-filled, and you're not spirit-filled if you don't speak in tongues. Is that what you, huh? I know a lot of tongue talkers that ain't good for nothing except tongue talking. Somebody say amen out there. Gino, give me a thumbs up. Somebody give me a thumbs
amen.
Up. I know a lot of tongue talkers that ain't good for nothing except tongue talking.
Amen.
Huh? Boom.
Right. Because the Bible says we have a form of godliness. So I wrote this today. Actually, it was put on the title was given to me. And if you go back and replay the show yesterday, I told you I was going to write on yesterday. It's in me. And I'm going to challenge some of you today. Some of you aren't born again. You aren't. You're a Christian. You claim to be a Christian. Hang on. There ain't no power in your life. I make notes to myself all the time. I put a note up here. I can't not speak of Jesus when I'm around people. Scripture says it's like fire caught up in my bones. And there are many times when I know, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, do I have to say that? I'm with a group of people and I get prompts, oh, Lord, I have to say that because I know what the reaction is going to be. I know what the reaction is going to be. And when I leave, they're just going to call me a religious nut. Somebody raise your hand and say, I know what you're talking about, coach. That happened to me. I know what you talked about. I know. I can't not talk about it. I can't do it. I'd be better off not going. Because when I get there, I'm not going to look the other way. I'm going to have to say what has to be said. People don't like it. I see your hands popping up. Just hang on. Go ahead quickly, Gino. Go ahead.
Coach, I got to bring something up. This born again, what you say about in the Greek, it means born from above. And yeah. There's a long explanation of that because you had an experience and you expect everybody else to have the same experience you had.
No, I don't.
Well, that's the message I'm getting. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But anyway, maybe I'm taking it wrong.
Can you
put Christ said,
hey, Gino.
In John 3:16, if you believe in Jesus Christ, because I was saved before my father was saved.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being born again of the Spirit of God and baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'll get off because
hang on, we have a
whole different concept of that.
Okay, it's good you brought it up. It's good you. I'm not talking about saved. I'm talking about the many saved people I know who have no power in their life. Anybody know anybody like that? Saved and useless to the gospel. Saved. So I wrote this yesterday. Secular Christianity. Webster's defined. Old Noah Webster, by the way, defines secular as pertaining to the present world or to things not spiritual or holy, relating to things not immediately or primarily respecting the soul, but the body, worldly. So this should be entitled worldly Christianity. Somebody give me a boom. Anybody know any worldly Christians? Anybody besides me go to some of those revivals where it's all fleshly? Come and name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, do this and do this, get your flesh blessed. Huh? What? That's secular worldly Christianity.
Boom.
Now, friends, look, I'm not talking about being born again. That's an entirely different thing. Stay with me here. Stay with me. The Apostle Paul called it a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. In fact, he considered it so damaging that he exhorted believers that from such turn away. Spencer, click on Apostle Paul there because the scripture's there. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He's talking about believers. Hey, Spencer, go back there. Go back there. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I don't really care if I do. Pull up the entire 2 Timothy 3. Good. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce bearers, false excuses, and conduct fears, spires to those who are good, traitors, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, looking like church people, but there ain't no power. I'm just reading the scripture. From such, turn away. You see that? Hey, by the way, know any Christians like that? You know any of those Christians? Know any of them? Without natural affections, the truce breakers and liars and incontinent fears, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high minded, lovers. You know any of those? I know some of them. I know some of them. Go back. Going back, Spence. From such, turn away. Just a warning, this is not a feel-good article, and if you're an evangelist, you might want to stop reading right now. By the way, for those of you who are in the back row, an evangelist is a Christian without a backbone. Most American churches are populated with them. They're the mutant children produced by the false prosperity gospel. You know, the name it and claim it crew with the big church and the media star pastor. That'd been a great place for somebody to say amen. You know, the name it and claim it crew with the big amen. Church and the media star pastor. Come on. He's such a big star, you can't even get to him. You can't even, you call him a pastor, you can't even get to him. I warned you, it's not too late to quit reading. Well, it is because I'm reading it. You see, folks, Christianity is not a religion. Islam is a religion. So is Buddhism, Confucianism, humanism, Republicanism. Anytime you hear ism, know that that's some form of religion or ideology or belief system, right? Mr. Webster defined religion as the performance of the duties we owe directly to God from a principle of obedience to his will. So religion is nothing more than do's and don'ts and follow this and get closer to God by following the rules and regulations. That is religion. Am I doing okay here, folks? Are you with me here? Look, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just going to tell you something. We are around a lot of worldly Christians. Christianity is different from the scores of religions in the world, in that it is the only religion that believes in and promotes the possibility of a personal relationship with our Creator through an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Hence, Christianity is a relationship with our Creator, not a religion. Benny, that'd be a boom. Christianity is a relationship with our Creator, not a religion.
Boom.
Now, friends, the dead Pope, the one that just died, said there was no such thing as a personal relationship with God. You know he said that, don't you? You know that. But men turned it into religion. And hence the nearly 44,000 different Christian versions of how Christianity is to be lived out. Jesus told us that it was necessary for us to be born again. In fact, he told us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Can you point to a moment in your life where you surrendered and invited Christ into your life? The kingdom of God's not a place where Christians go when they die. It's the place where Jesus lives. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is within. Huh? Yep. Luke 17. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said, boys, quit looking for a sign. You can't see it. It ain't something you can see, he said. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, look, there it is, or look, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Dude, I can't even unpack that one. What? The kingdom is within the believer? Is that why Jesus told us that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit?
Boom.
Folks, you live in a body. You are a spirit who possesses a soul. You live in a body. Now it says, stop right here and read John 3. I'm not going to take it. You want to understand the gospel? Read John 3. It's linked right there. Just click on it. So there it is. Tells you the whole thing. Nicodemus comes to him and says, hey, what do I got to do? Nicodemus asks, born again, how to get back inside my mother's womb? Okay, that's what you're going to read right there. Then I said this, read it again. Folks, listen. They were new believers, but they had no power. The Holy Spirit is the power. In fact, Paul asked a group of new believers in Acts 19, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, what you talking about, Willis? We never even heard of the Holy Ghost. Sounds like most denominations to me today. I was having a discussion the other day with a man who was singing the praises of his Holy Ghost-filled church. Pardon me, I said. Holy Ghost filled? Is there some other kind? What? See, when we hear people say, well, our church is Holy Ghost filled, they're talking about their charismatic. They're speaking in tongues. They believe in the gifts. And that's what satellite TV has done for us. Spirit filled means gifts are evident. That's what people want to say. Yet those same people who go to spirit-filled churches and never been to a school board meeting, stood outside an abortion clinic, and have never done any of that, although they're spirit, Holy Ghost-filled. You see, the American church has become secularized, powerless to expand the kingdom of God. Nothing more than a Christian social club. You don't have to say amen, although you could. Hang on, Spencer. It's important. What is secularized? American church has been secularized. Go back to the top, Spence. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. What's secular? Very top, Spencer. Very top. Pertaining to the present world. Or to things not spiritual or holy. Relating to things not immediately or primarily respecting the soul, but the body, worldly. You go back down. The American church, okay, Jesus told a group of new believers in the book of Acts. You ready, friends? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me ask you something. Do you get the Holy Ghost at salvation? You do. You get the infilling? You're saved at salvation. I'm just thinking here. Because Jesus said in the book of Acts, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto both me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, this comes after you receive Christ. Is there real power in your faith? Are you a witness to Christ everywhere you go? In the book of Acts, the new believers were accused of turning the world upside down. Let me ask you, hey, Rochelle, is the American church turning the world upside down today? Where is the power of God today? The world has capsized, and it's been done under the watchful eye of the worldly, secularized American church. Benny, I need a boom really, really bad. I'm getting a lot of angry faces looking at me. Cable TV destroyed Christianity. The name it and claim it, grab it and blab it version of Christianity spewed over the satellites produce a secularized, humanistic version of Christianity. Oral Roberts, and I could go on and on and on. The world sits in the midst of perilous times. Right now we sit in the midst of perilous times. And only Christ and his followers can right the ship. The world is waiting on us. How do I know? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hey, Spence, real quickly, go to Webster. What's manifestation? What is manifestation? Because the whole world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The act of disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. Discovery to the eye or to the understanding, the exhibition of anything by clear evidence as the manifestation of God's power in creation.
Amen.
See, God's power is already there, but we don't see the manifestation of it, do we? And then when something happens that was clearly in your life a move of God, you recognize it. That was God. That was God. Right? For the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to show up. Am I reading that wrong? Anybody think I'm misquoting? The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now let me get back to where I started. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power is going to be so strong that you're going to be witnesses in the world and in the church, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in Zanesville and in Newark and in Columbus and in Lancaster and in Hebron and in Buckeye Lake and Mount Vernon. You shall be witnesses unto me everywhere you go, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So if you have the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, what are we so afraid of? What are we so afraid of? That we will not put ourselves between innocent children in danger. We won't do it. Rare. Hey, Let me. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Did you guys see this? Pull up number four real quick. Wait a minute. Okay. Wait, hang on. Hang on. Stay right there, Spence. Have you, it's on you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because it clearly appears to me that you are saved. And then once you're saved, there's more to it. The Holy Spirit comes. And then the Holy Spirit brings power. Is there power in your life? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Well, number four. I'm going to flush them out. July 8th, 2 days ago, the IRS says churches can now endorse political candidates. It's now okay to go to your church and say, hey, pastor, who are you voting for?
Boom.
And the pastors for years and years and years didn't want to tell you who they were voting for because the church was split on Republicans and Democrats, and he didn't want to start a fight. So now a pastor can stand in the pulpit and say, I'm voting for Donald Trump because he is going to protect unborn babies. I'm voting for Donald Trump because he's going to do away with transgenderism. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because, or I ain't voting for Kamala Harris because she wants to kill babies. Make your pastor take a position. Publicly. That's why there's so much confusion. All right.
Amen.
Flush them out, baby. Flush them out. You know what I see coming? I see some church divisions. Because if my pastor ain't voting for the same guy as me, I better find out why. Because one of us is wrong. Come on in, Dale.
Well, first off, well, I didn't wait for the IRS approval on that one. Second of all, Coach, for a pastor to get giddy up over that, oh, so you're waiting for the government's approval?
Amen, brother. Come on.
Uh-oh, that already tells me something, right? I'm just saying, Coach. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, this is the COVID all over again. It's like, oh, it might be thinking that it's good, but we sit here and wait for their blessings and their approval. Right. We have exchanged the glory of God for the corruption of government.
So Dale, all of the pastors in America, all of them should have been in Washington, D.C., defending those men who were unjustly arrested. But they didn't have to, did they? Why? Because we don't really mix religion and politics here. And the government just said, yeah, you can. The government just, yeah, you can. Go ahead, you can. You can. Mel.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, tonight is the Bible study. This is not going to be secular Christianity. this is going to be some meat. So this is the last announcement. So it's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. Spencer, if you could go to events, upcoming events, and then go to Ecclesia Bible Study number one. So you'll see there that the Zoom link is in there. Rochelle's going to be leading the Bible study this evening. We're going to be talking about Revelation 1-3, the letter to the seven churches. And talking about Revelation, you can't really, talk about Revelation without talking about a little bit of eschatology. So she's going to give a nice overview on that. So
put
I invite
that, put that link in the chat. Put that link in the chat.
Everybody to come.
Mel, hang on.
Yeah.
Did you get my approval to do this?
I did not.
Oh, well, cool. approval? Didn't you need Pastor Dave's approval to do it?
I would love your support on this, but I don't feel like I need your approval. But thank you, Coach.
What if you're teaching a doctrine that I don't agree with, Mel?
Well, That's just the way it is sometimes, yeah. I guess. Rochelle and I are led by the Holy Spirit, and we are bringing this. And
the pastor doesn't get to determine what you learn.
The fact that they're teaching out of the book of Revelation, Coach, is going to bring contrary and conflict.
Ain't it great, man? Ain't it great? Boom, Mel and Rochelle, boom. Keep going, Mel. Keep going.
No, that's great. Rochelle.
Hang on, Mel. Folks, this is so healthy. It's so healthy. Then other people get to talk about what they think, what they believe.
Rochelle and I are inviting you to come to our steak dinner this evening. So come and join us for some steak. And I'm sure Rochelle has a comment too, but thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thank you, Mel, for doing that. Rochelle, go ahead.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks, Coach. Hey, team. Everybody is welcome. All views are welcome. So don't feel like, I might be jaded in one direction. No, I have been humbled, to say the least, by this study. And to be quite honest, I'm ashamed that I haven't looked at these other views more closely in the past. And it has been so enlightening and making my Bible make a lot more sense. So please come. But I have one more comment, Coach, about what you had brought up about the churches, and Dale had that right. The churches never had to wait. Okay, that was a fake law, and they could have been talking about politics since forever. However, I want to ask a question, and I don't really want an answer. It's hypothetical, but do we really want a one world state church marriage? Because remember, this is kind of my view. Remember what they show us. They show us the dark, and they show us the false light. So it's only those who really study and show themselves approved to understand what the light is. And that's what we're hoping to bring out in our Revelation study. So join us tonight. Thanks, Coach.
Awesome. Folks, why would you want to believe something that wasn't true? And let me ask you another question. You think something's true just because you believe it? Come on now. Well, my pastor told me. Yeah, I know. How do you know he knows what he's talking about? You ever heard another view on that? No. But the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I'm going to tell you this, Mel. And Michelle, God bless you. Michelle, my wife will be there. I am not going to be there purposely, because I don't want to look like Pastor Dave's looking over your shoulder. I encourage you, dears, go for it. Go for it. Let's get to the truth. Let's get to the truth. Pull up number one for me real quick. Just kind of a, I want you to get in there. We got 20 minutes left. Just kind of a, the more they change, the more they remain the same. Bring up number three. Ready? No. That's not it. Is that what I gave you there? Look at number. Yeah. The Knickerbockers. 1962, something like that. Go ahead and play it.
Someday you're gonna be a woman. That's good enough. Oh, God. Hey, folks, listen. He is the father of lies. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Huh? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Lies. I remember that song kind of vaguely. All right, I'll shout. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Craig has some good information for you. Craig, I was going to do that. I was going to talk about that stuff yesterday. Didn't get around to it. Today, didn't get around to it. Come on in, dude.
Are you talking about...
Whatever, but whatever's on your heart, man.
Well, right now, Coach, you maybe I'm CCing you. You know, this whole thing that happened in Texas is physical, but it's spiritual.
Okay, so hang on since you said that. Pull up number three real quick. Hang on. Pull up number three. Remember, the water represents the Holy Spirit, right? Water represents... Hang on, Craig. Look at this, folks. Look at this. I found this on Facebook this morning. Just in the last... look, catastrophic floods, July 4th in Texas. North Carolina, July 8th. New Mexico, July 8th. Arkansas, July 8th. Oklahoma, July 8th. Illinois, July 8th. Massachusetts, July 8th. Virginia, July 8th. Rhode Island, July 8th. Connecticut, July 8th. Iowa, July 8th. Maryland, July 8th. Wisconsin, July 8th. And dare I say, yesterday, July 9th, a flood, rain like I ain't never seen. Something going on. Water represents the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Craig.
So, anyways, you know, the first time I heard that this thing was called Camp Mystic, something didn't sit right with me. But anyways, the thing is, you know, and I'm composing this right now, so hey, you know, breaking news. But I think some other peoples are on it already. I mean, I kind of thought about it, but they made me think about it. So, you know, we did this thing about solar eclipses, remember? I was very adamant. Do you know, just below Caryville and Vanderpool, is the intersection, it's like where the two to three solar eclipses occurred during the October 2023 and the April 8th, 2024. No, it's called Vanderpool. It's just like, you know, when you're in a, you know, like Jack's in a sub and he wants to go to two points, he draws two lines, and where it intersects, that's where you go, right? So this is called Vanderpool, which is about 40 miles south of Caryville. So I said, well, I'm going to pull that up, right? I want to see exactly where these two things did. Well, guess what comes next to it? Indian Mound Cabins. And I was like, Indian Mound Cabins. That sounds kind of like Coach's area there. Yes, so now I'm on this thing about the Native American tribes and the Indian Mounds in Texas, all right? Because there's a spiritual connection to that. So I'm writing L.A. Marzullia a letter. I'll be glad to help him with some of this. But anyways, there's a connection to this, okay? And, you know, one of the things that I felt and I think you're going to do tomorrow is we're going to read, you know, Psalms 11 and Proverbs 11 because, you know, Trump's going down there tomorrow. And I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm praying for safety and something doesn't happen. But there's something very spiritual about this that we do not quite understand. And I believe that these solar eclipses are pinpoints over our land. For good, for bad, for whatever, but the Lord gave us a message, and I think he's carrying it out.
Hey, Craig, hang on just a second right there. Folks, listen. Can you look at what Craig is talking about and get out of your head end times? Because we always want to connect everything to the end times. Let's just talk about the present times. What is going on that all this catastrophic flooding is going on? What is God saying to us at the present time? If we don't know that, it doesn't even matter about the end. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, you know, this ties in. You know, I did a lot of research, Coach. I mean, you let me talk about it on April 5th, okay? And I was talking about how earthquakes, you know, and that's 2 hours later, there's an earthquake right outside where Trump's, you know, place is in New Jersey, which actually was owned by DeLorean, okay, Back to the Future, right? So the point being is, when I looked over and did, there was another pattern of this that happened in 1811, okay? And there was three series of solar eclipses that happened during that period of time. And what was ironic is it happened on September 17th, which is the day that Randy you know, Constitution Day. But anyways, then you had all these earthquakes in December and January of the San Madrid. But when I was doing that research there, one of the ways that it actually went over this particular area was in 1811, I have to go back to the exact date, but there was this big massacre of Indians where this occurred, and it created the an uproar. I'd have to go back in details, but anyways, you probably heard of the prophecy where these Indians actually put a curse on the presidency, and all the presidents, and it was the governor at the time, I think it was Michigan or Illinois, I can't remember, but anyways, he became president, and he was the first of the like four or five presidents that died in the year 00. You know, like John Kennedy died and Roosevelt in 40 and 20 and 1900, you know. So anyways, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to say, I don't have all this put together, except I'm just saying there's something bigger than what's behind the scenes.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, right? Something is going on, folks. Something's going on. And it doesn't, without us getting into the end times, everything's about the end times, and it's important. I'm not making fun of that, but boys and girls, if I really believed that the end time was here, I'd quit doing everything I do, and I'd be out on the street. I'd be knocking on every door, going to everybody I know, making sure they're right with the Lord. So I'm going to tell you something. Our behavior doesn't match our belief, because look, Jesus told us, no man knows the day and the hour, not even the Son of Man. And we spend so much time and effort and energy speculating on the end. When he said, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Work while the sun shines. That day's coming for sure. Quit focusing on that. Work, work. Come on in, Rochelle.
Yeah, I had a couple thoughts on that with the weather, crazy weather.
My buddy Norm, hang on, Michelle. My buddy Norm put in there, multiple major U.S. airports have grounded flights because of weather. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Michelle.
Yeah, initially I thought, okay, well, there is man-made weather, and they can use it as their narrative for climate change and send us down all of these patterns of behavior that are ridiculous.
This is more than cloud seeding, though, Rochelle. Something crazy.
Okay. And now God uses man to judge man. I mean, there is heart. There is stuff that we don't understand. And mm-hmm. in the book of Job, God allowed Satan to test man through the weather.
That's true. Yep.
And so I think that there is definitely something behind all this. I don't think it's normal. It's not normal to get an inch and a half of rain in 15 minutes. So I do believe that our governments have the capability to do this. I believe they've had this capability. I there was a book out after 9/11, Judy something, about where did the towers go? And it basically had the hypothesis. Did you know there was a hurricane right off the coast? I didn't realize this. At that time, there was a hurricane right off the coast, and her hypothesis is that they are able to use this energy in a sense into a direct energy weapons and stuff like this.
Okay, so I didn't know that, but here's my point. Here's my point. These are all just signs for us to understand. Folks, they have technology that we can't even imagine. But if we spend all of our time trying to go around to non-believers and explain technology, they ain't going to get it. They ain't going to get it, right? So again, the scripture says foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Foolish and unlearned, meaning I don't really know. This is the hypothesis. Maybe I don't know. Look, tell me what you
know. Give you a bottom line real quick. It's just that God is either doing it or allowing it. So he's judging his people in a sense. Thank you, Coach.
Right. Yes. Huh? Is weather judgment? Weather judgment? I came home. Have you guys done any, been on the internet and searched around and look at these precious, precious children who died in Texas, and then more in New Mexico. And I came home and I looked in the picture on the wall of our 10 and a half grandbabies and thought, oh my God, what would it be like to lose one? Just lose one of them. What if you lost those two sisters? Do we understand? Do we understand the grief? Does the church have an answer? Do we have an answer? Remember when the Tower of Siloam fell? Everybody went to church. Maybe you could find it, Spencer. It doesn't matter if you do. Everybody went to church and they were praying, oh, God, thank you for protecting us all. And the Lord said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You think something special about y'all? Tell you this, the Lord said, unless you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. They're coming for you too, baby. Sorry if my tongue's blue this morning. I had some more of that Nephilim blue this morning. So we have a funny mixture of looking at what we see and mixing in end time prophecy to try to make it work. And the Lord said, stop it. Work while the sun shines. Stop it. Speculation. Now, if you want to go out and use what's going on as evidence to preach the gospel, that's a different thing. It's something different. But I sense so much of Christianity is focusing on end times and not really doing much about it. No, listen. The National Weather Service gave a warning about what was going on in Kerrville. They gave them a warning. There's a flood coming. They didn't have cell phones down there for one of bad cell coverage. And the police chief, I don't know if you've seen this or not, the sheriff down there refused to relay the messages because it was going to cost them too much money to do it. You Google it. I'm sorry I don't have it with me today, right? So there's a natural disaster coming, and a man can do something about it, and he doesn't because he's looking at the budget. We can't be like that. We can't be like that. The flood's coming. Quit worrying about the budget. How many lives would have been saved? They could have got the warning down there. They chose not to do it. Hey, Craig, what's the warning now we were choosing not to share? Yeah, Paul, he could be a scapegoat. There's a lot of scapegoats. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Mary Beth.
Coach, I kind of equivalize that to, I have a lot of people tell me that I shouldn't say a lot, I don't want to exaggerate, that I am too blunt in my whatever, you know, like sharing the gospel or whatever. And I just say, hey, if your house is burning down, same thing you're talking about, I'm not going to go in and say, I'm really sorry your house is burning down. No. I'm going to go in there, guns blazing, and try to get those people out of there.
Right. That's what it says. Work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. And, I can read the Bible. I can match this scripture with that scripture and I go to Revelation. I can do that. And you know what? I can't control any of it. I cannot control. I can't even control what I'm going to do tomorrow. I can't even control whether I can mow the grass or not because it might rain. Why do we think that we see these are signs? I mowed all day yesterday. You know why I mowed all day yesterday? Because the forecast said it was going to rain today. So I worked while the sun shined.
Coach?
Because the day was coming and I couldn't mow. Go ahead.
When my son died, that's the one thing I learned. That was like the big lesson for me was that you have no control. You have zero control.
And yeah, right. Yet I can't fill the pond. Maybe it's filling up today. That's right. That's right. Look, I'm not against speculation and end time prophecy and all that stuff, but it should motivate us to do something other than just sit around.
So, Coach.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've had my hand up. I'm probably no one sees it, but
it's okay. Nobody else has it up anyway. It's okay.
Hey, so Coach, do you think Jesus, when he walked on the Sea of Galilee in that storm, that
that demonic storm that came up trying to stop him from going to the other side. He knew it was coming. Do you think the verse that Paul wrote in Romans 8 when he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God? And then it goes on and it says, and these signs are waiting, the earth is waiting for these children of God to be manifest so that what, Coach? They can release the creation from corruption, from all the wickedness. So, Coach, we're not Jesus, but we are the sons of God too. So what I'm saying is prayer changes things. I'm not saying we can change the weather. I'm saying that God says to you, hey, Rochelle, I want you to pray over this hurricane that's coming right over your house, and you take authority over it, and you're going to be all right. See, we're not trying to control anything, Coach. We're responding to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Hey, Randy. So my wife, Miss Yang up there, Ying and Yang, God, I love my wife. She told me yesterday, she said, you guys, meaning us, you guys need to get back in action. So what? Yeah. You guys used to go salt the waters. You used to go prayer walk. You used to do all that stuff. Now everybody's hunkered down. You guys need to get back out there talking to us. Talking to us. Rather sitting around and being analysts of what's going on. Let's get out there and take authority over it. Let's go out there, declare the word of God over it. Let's get out there and be the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's go do it. So it inspired me. Mary Beth.
That was the first thing I did, was that salting of the waters. Took a friend of mine and we went and salted the waters.
Yep. We ought to be doing more of it. Why do we stop doing it? Why do we stop staking? Why do we stop doing all that? Shame on me. Ohio Brett.
No shame on you. Thank you, Michelle. That's why this huddle, that's why this team, Coach. There's only one head coach, but you got lots of players. It's such an encouragement, this locker room. We great are doing players. It. You are doing players, it.
Brett. Brett, we have great players.
All stars, baby. Team Jesus.
That's right, baby. That's right. We got to get our ass moving again, folks. We're in the midst of right now. We are. Ooh, I just felt that. We are the manifestation of the sons of God. We are right now. Craig Mickle and Randy and Jeff Klein and Dave Allison. We are the manifestation of the sons
Amen.
Of God. And the whole world's groaning, waiting for us to show up.
Amen.
Ray LeBlanc. I can run down a litany of names. Betty Perkins. Manifestation of the sons of God. What are we waiting on? Come on. Well, we can't, brothers. It's Jesus is coming. Did you see that sign over there? Yeah, I saw that sign. Yeah. He sent you a sign. There's a flood coming. Get to work. Rather than sitting around and analyzing why the flood came, we know why the flood came. We know. What are we going to do about it? Because the whole creation groans. Not for the government, not for Donald Trump, not for MAGA. The manifestation of the people in this queue and the ones you can touch. They're waiting on us. See you tomorrow.